Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Daniel, and we're in chapter 9. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Saul was a mess. David was doing well for a minute, but then he stumbled badly, and he was never really happy about being a king anymore. And Solomon, man, he polluted the whole landscape with all of the false gods of their day. And you begin to realize these trespasses were not small. They were chronic. They happened and then they were compounded as years went by. You would find in the Kings only three or four times where it says not only was there some kind of revival in the land, but they put the Sodomites out. That was like, boy, this king, he cut to the bone. You know, we live in a day where the reason we have an abortion problem is because we have an immorality problem. The vast majority are people who are out there living an immoral life and just wanting their immorality, and they want to protect it. And the Supreme Court said health could be just your mental distress. No, there was always that understanding that one had to behave before times of the 50s and so forth with birth control. But now it's like all bets are off, and now we have a real sin problem in America. And it's not just abortion. It's immorality. And it's hurting the family, it's hurting the children, and it's hurting the individuals. And that's why the Bible says God hates all of this stuff. It's not because He hates people having fun, quote unquote. He made a place for that. It's a righteous place. It's a place that He defines as the safe place for all things that God gives us richly to enjoy. Now He says, because of the trespass that they have trespassed against you, we have confusion of face. So you see Daniel, he's feeling that confusion of face too. Now, fascinating thing about Daniel is he was a Jewish person. And the Jewish people were on the ropes. They were in the penalty box. You know? So because they were such a mess, even Daniel felt implicated. You see? And just because something goes sideways in the world of religion out there doesn't mean everybody in the world of religion is bad, but it sure makes us feel like we are. And the world's got kind of a bad view of religious endeavor, and always raising an eyebrow or whatever. And people even say, well, I used to go to church, I just don't like organized religion. And I'm like, you can like or not like whatever you want, but if you're going to read the Bible, it talks about church, and it talks about the bride of Christ, it talks about being members of one body. You go play your games, but that's called iniquity. You're changing the rules. God's rules are clear. Just do it His way. You're not going to be here forever, and you may not understand it, but just one foot in front of the other. Do the right thing as best you know how, and don't try to be placing yourself over it, because that can be problematic for you in His presence when you try to explain to Him how you figured it all out. Because, you know, greater minds than yours and mine have wrestled with some of these issues. Verse 8 says, O Lord, to us belongs confusion of face, to our kings, our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against Thee. I go back to, missed the mark. How did they miss the mark? Well, a lot of times we miss the mark because we haven't asked the question, what are we aiming at? And I would tell you that the New Testament is very clear on where we're to be aiming at. And I believe in the millennial kingdom, we're going to find that Israel is going to be so lit up about who God is that when they're doing the sacrificial system, they're going to say, that lamb means this, and that sacrifice means that, and that's our king in that picture, and boy, he's just everywhere, and it was always about him. And in your life and in mine, it's all about him. Can't be about us, it's about Jesus. The Bible says in verse 9, it says, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against Him. Now, why does He say it again? Because the reality is that this is who He is, and what we have done by our iniquity and our sin is we've completely beclouded that reality. People don't know mercies and forgiveness belong to God because we're so far out here saying He can't be trusted. We want to go this way. We can't trust Him. We need the Molechs. We need the Baals. We need the Ashtaroths. That's what they were going after, the vast majority of society. That's why they were carried away. They had child sacrifice. They did. They had a valley outside their town called the Valley of Tophet, where it was the Valley of the Drums. They would play their drums hard so they couldn't hear the screams of the babies being thrown in the fire. We are living in this kind of a world where, to us as Americans, it belongs confusion of face. We're a little embarrassed on the international scale, and it didn't happen overnight. It's been in the making for a long, long time because we've allowed ourselves to forget God and we've said, no, He can't be trusted. We're going to do it our way. He says, no, we need to say it again. To the Lord belongs mercies and forgiveness. This is why as a child of God who really wants to get it right, we want to tell our world that I've failed, I've sinned. You know, when you tell somebody about Jesus, man, you can tell them, you know, the Bible says all have sinned. I've sinned. Man, He saved me. You can drill down and be, you know, exhibit A. You don't go to them in condescension. You go to them in humble appeal because you understand where they're at. There's an insanity about sin. We lose ourselves by it. And then we double down. You know, when somebody has an abortion experience and they don't know about the mercies and forgiveness of God, what happens to them? If something inside them goes really cold and they don't know about mercies and forgiveness. And then when they look at life and they go through it, because it's the most tender of our communities, there's our women, their hearts are just huge and loving and soft. But all of a sudden, they have to hide that wound. And you see these women coming out and, you know, years of being in that world, and then all of a sudden they get saved, and it's like, God healed my hurt. God took my wound. God put the balm of Gilead on me, and He took away all my shame, and He bore it on the cross, and forgiveness and mercies were poured out, and oh, it's beautiful, and they can tell others. Exhibit A, I was a sinner. I did the wrong. I lived for the wrong, but then Jesus saved me. He says, to the Lord belongs mercies and forgiveness. The word for mercies is a very powerful word in the Hebrew. Hebrew only has 500 words, or at least maybe a few more now because they've rekindled the Hebrew language. But over the course of the histories, it was like 500 words. I mean, we got thousands upon thousands in English. I mean, Greek is huge, very prolific. 500. So they use the word womb here. Womb. Why? Because He loves you like you love your children. And even though you've rebelled and sinned and been lost because of your sin, He has the sense that you're His because He created you. And He wants you to come back to Him. Therefore, mercies are there. When you open the door and fly to Him, He's willing, just like in the prodigal son, to run as an indignity to himself, run in the streets as an older man and take you, put a ring on your finger, shoes on your feet, robe on your back, and give you just a party of celebration. Why? Because He loves you. He made you. He knit you together. And He knows where you've been and how it's been and how hard it's been or how you've made decisions and why. So when you read the word, to the Lord belongs mercies, means womb. The word compassion comes out of it, the idea of His care for you. Forgiveness, He says, though we have rebelled. Though we have rebelled. Not when we were perfect, but even though we've rebelled, He's still got those mercies for you. It says, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, He says, to walk in His laws, which He set before us by His servants, the prophets. Now understand these laws. The Israelites were asked to do a lot of things they didn't understand. When they would go through the temple sacrificial system, it would be real easy to think, well, if I just give a little bit more this time, I don't need to go back and start, you know, negotiating. It's how people do in, say, Romanism, where they have a lot of statutes. Very easy to get caught up in statutes. There's enough gospel in the Catholic Church to get saved, but a lot of people get caught up in the pageantry and they miss God altogether. They need to get out of there because there's certain things when they read in their Bible that don't congeal and they realize they need, what it says, thou shalt not make any image? And that's the first thing out of the gate, right? So there's things, but the gospel's in there. Jesus died on a cross. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead. They've been told this. But they can lose it in the pageantry. And just like in the Old Testament, they would lose it in the offering. They'd lose it in the accountability, in the importance of being there, showing up and doing a certain ritual or routine. They didn't understand it always. And therefore, it was very difficult for them. So I want you to recognize that when you look at them, don't be so hard on them. How could they? No. They were asked to do things. We're moving now because the Shekinah glory has moved. Let's move. Where are we going? None of your business. Just move, okay? That's a good illustration. We were like that as children, right? Are we there yet? We're never going to be there until we get home, okay? We're just going to do what God has us to do. But in the New Testament, things dawned. In New Testament, things got better because all of a sudden we could see what God was doing. We see it in stark relief when Paul was there worried about Titus and he was broken in his heart. And he says, man, I had a sense of death in myself. And he says, we did this because God wanted us not to trust in ourselves, but in the living God. We were broken. We despaired of life, had the sense of death. He says, and I went on to preach and I was preaching at this place. And man, I couldn't get over Titus. Where's Titus? This great door. All this stuff I could do. People were getting saved, but I left that. People were getting saved, but I needed to go. And he felt guilty. But when he got where he was going, he says, praise be unto God, who always leads us in triumph. Always. No matter where you are. Because you are His picture of mercies. You're His picture of forgiveness. You're His picture of His womb, His love, His compassion. He says, we didn't walk according to your laws. We didn't understand them. We didn't want to understand them. We didn't wait to understand them. A few did because they understood God to be good, even in spite of the fact that there was laws. David was a man after God's own heart. What did he do? He went to the temple and he took the showbread and he was able to eat it. Why? Because he knew God. That's an amazing thing, right? It was only for the priest, but he says, necessity here. And David didn't have this kind of a clutching on every little nuance, every letter. Verse 11 says, yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Circle the word that. They departed so that they wouldn't have to obey your voice. They just wanted to calm that down. I don't want to have that conscience. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear what he says. Many people absent themselves from church because they don't want to hear the Bible. They don't want to hear the Word of God because it's conviction. The Bible talks about itself as being a fire, a mirror, a hammer. I mean, it's going to adjust us, right? We're changed as we look into this image by the Spirit. We hear Him, we see Him, and we adjust. And He works with us in that way, incrementally. He says, because we've quieted your voice, therefore the curse is poured upon us, in verse 11. That's why we're here in Babylon. That's why America's where it's at today, because we've quieted God's voice down and the curse has come upon us. Our borders are open and our people are in jeopardy. Our children are on the docket for destruction, whether it be in an abortion clinic or whether it be in an inoculation they don't need. What are they doing? What are they doing? Experimental stuff. They're saying, let's do this. This is insanity. Why do we want to do this? Thankfully, some of the young people are waking up and realizing it as well. Verse 11 says, yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey your voice. The curse, therefore, is poured upon us, and the oath that was written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Now understand this. He's saying, we were told that there would be blessings and cursings. Mount Ebal, Mount Gerizim. First thing they did when they got in the land is half the tribes went up on one side, Mount Ebal, half the side went up on Mount Gerizim, and they began to speak the blessings and the cursings. And guess what? The people of the surrounding lands who were kind of scouting things, they heard it because it was in almost an amphitheater kind of setting. If you will do this, this will happen. If you will do this, this will happen. Blessings and cursings, you needed to choose. He says, we're under the curse because we didn't choose well. America is hurting today because we haven't chosen well. We haven't chosen well. We haven't chosen to stay in our lane, do what we're supposed to do, be the people we need to be, knowing that this is temporary, that if it is burdensome for me to follow God in this generation because it's hard, maybe I live in another part of the world, even if it's in some terrible place that they're really going to put people to death, you just say, this is not all there is. And you soldier on and you stay in your lane and you keep yourself attuned with God because God knows the way through.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.